You are listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast, focusing on the changing nature of retirement today and the non-financial aspects of a successful retirement transition. Join host Joe Casey and learn from leading experts in the field and the stories of people who created interesting second acts as they share practical ideas and tips to create your own. Check out our website at retirementwisdom.com, where you can download our newsletter and other resources to learn more about how coaching can help you. The best way to support this podcast is to head over to Apple Podcasts and post a rating and a comment. It's easy and it's free. Join our conversations and get wiser about your retirement.
Welcome to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Casey, and I'll be joined shortly by co-host Dennis Wissman. Eventually in retirement, you'll need to enroll in Medicare. It sounds simple, but we know that that's not the whole story. Our guest today is Dan Petkovich. He's the CEO of Fair Square Medicare, a company he started when he saw his own parents struggle to understand their healthcare insurance options when they turned 65. Prior to founding Fair Square Medicare, Dan founded Trim, a financial health company that's generated over $40 million in cost savings for their customers. Previously, Daniel co-founded Octane Lending, a venture-backed financial technology company. He graduated from Yale with a degree in physics. Dan, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So please tell us a story of how a physics major from Yale became involved with Medicare.
Yeah. It's a long story, but I study physics at Yale. And I don't know if this is related to the major or not, but I sort of was instantly drawn to the idea of technology where you can sort of write some code and create something from nothing. And that took me sort of onto a path of into Silicon Valley and working for and starting technology companies. And so I worked for Redfin. I started a company called Trim in the personal finance space. And most recently decided to do something with Medicare. And the sort of impetus was I looked at my parents who recently turned 65 and, you know, they had a bunch of questions about Medicare and I sort of helped them navigate it. At the time, they were actually lucky to have a pretty good agent working with them. And I found that they were going through this like really confusing process. And at the same time, it's not just them. There are a ton of people having to navigate Medicare every year. I mean, 10,000 people a day. And they're all going through this high stakes decision making process, which is it's like incredible that a consumer is subject to it. The best case scenario is you're extremely frustrated, but you figure it out and you pick the right plan. The worst case scenario is you get really frustrated and you actually choose the wrong plan, which could have significant financial or health consequences for you in the future. So it seemed to me like, hey, this is a high impact problem to solve. You can improve a lot of people's lives by making the shopping decision easier. You can make them feel more confident that they have good coverage. And it also seemed like now was a really interesting time to enter the market because people who are 65 now are more with it when it comes to technology than ever before. So if you're 65 now, you're 45. During the first dot-com boom. And so you're sort of used to buying your airplane tickets online or buying things off of Amazon. But the unfortunate reality for 65-year-olds who want to purchase insurance now is that there are basically only three ways to do it. One, you have to go to your local agent, which some people are fine with, and there's some great local agents, but there are also plenty of agents who don't really know what they're talking about or are only contracted with a fraction of the plans on the market. And some people just don't want to talk to agents because they perceive them as salesy. So that's one option. And another option is you go to a website which lists every single plan available to you, and sometimes there can be 30, and good luck making sense out of that. And then there's another kind of website where you put your contact info and you get about 30 calls over the next 3 days, which nobody wants. So I looked at that and thought, hey, there should be a better way of doing this.
And what are people most surprised by when they begin to look into enrolling for Medicare?
I don't know if surprise is the right reaction or the reaction most people have. I think that there are a couple of sort of things that people look to understand. So one is, what are Medicare Parts A and B? And when do I enroll in them? So that's like sort of question number one. And then 70% of seniors look at Parts A and B and say, hey, I want additional coverage. You can get that through either a Medicare supplement plan or a Medicare Advantage plan. And in a given zip code, there might be 30 of those to choose from. And you need to choose one out of those 30. And so that's the second, like, how do you filter that entire universe down into the option that's best for you? And I guess, like, I would say it, seniors have no idea that these are even the questions they need to answer going into this process. So I would say almost like every single part of it is a surprise to them.
And what makes Medicare so complicated?
I think it's why the system is the way it is. I would say there's probably this dynamic between public and private partnership, right? Where you have Medicare Parts A and B, which are provided directly from the government, from Medicare, right? And Medicare is the payer there. And that's a consumer needs to figure out, when do you enroll in Parts A and B, and what do they cover? And then there's all the supplement plans. So that's hard for the consumer because they need to choose one out of maybe 30 supplement plans available to them. And when I say supplement, I mean that in the generic terms, meaning Medigap and Medicare Advantage plans. But I think, like, there's complexity from that because all those plans are actually provided by private carriers. And so there's just like a lot of complexity derived from the interaction between the public part of Medicare, which is Parts A and B, and the private part, which is a Medigap or a Medicare Advantage plan.
Oh, thanks for that primer. It's helpful. And what are some common mistakes that people should avoid?
The situation you never want to be in is one where you don't have credible coverage. So the government basically requires you to have a certain base level of health insurance. And it can either come from your employer, your spouse's employer, or from the government, right? And so a lot of people need to figure out when they turn 65 is, do they actually need to enroll in Medicare, or can they continue on their own plan or their spouse's employer's plan, right? Mm-hmm. Now, in many cases, if you work for a large employer, if your spouse works in a large employer, you can continue on the plan. But if it turns out that you can't, if the employer is small or there is no employer coverage, you actually incur a significant financial penalty by not enrolling in Medicare Part B and not having prescription drug coverage when you turn 65. So that's like a very concrete scenario that you want to avoid. Now let's talk about a scenario that you can land in even if you sign up for everything right. So I mentioned earlier that one of the challenges for the consumer is choosing a Medicare supplement plan, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's just talk about why these Medicare supplement plans exist in the first place. So they exist because there are certain gaps in Medicare Parts A and B, and there are two notable ones. One, in Medicare Part A, you have it's $1,408. There's a $1,408 deductible that you pay. And most people are used to an annual deductible, but this one functions differently. It actually resets every 60 days that you haven't been to a hospital. So let's say you go to a hospital, you pay that $1,400 deductible, right? Then you check out and you wait 60 days and then you end up back in the hospital again. Because it's been 60 days since your last visit, you're going to have to pay that deductible again. So more generally, you could be paying that $1,400 several times over the course of a year. Another big gap is in Part B, there's a $198 deductible. And after that, the government pays, or Medicare pays, for 80% of Part B expenses, and you pay for 20%. Now, people look at that and they say, okay, 20% of what? Because that could be 20% of a big number. And so that's another gap that people look to fill. But implied in what I'm sort of illustrating here is, if you don't get supplemental coverage, you could get caught paying like this Part A deductible over and over. And you could get caught, you know, paying this 20% coinsurance on Part B that is actually quite significant if it's 20% of a large number. So let me sort of zoom out for a second. So there are two problems we talked about so far. One is not enrolling on time. Mm-hmm. That you pay penalties. Two is only enrolling in parts A and B and not getting supplemental coverage, which could expose you to repeat payments of the part A deductible and the 20% coinsurance on part B. And then the third pitfall is, let's say you get a supplement plan. Not all supplement plans are created equal. And this is actually the primary function of our website. We take the 30 supplement plans available to you and narrow them down to about 4 to 6 that make sense. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is we take all the supplement plans and we immediately remove the ones that don't cover your doctors. Many people will sign up for a plan with a low sticker price, and then it turns out that plan doesn't cover their doctors, which is obviously no good. Hmm. Or it's a PPO, and there's some doctor you need to see, and he or she is out of network, and now you have to pay an exorbitant price to see him. Right. So we filter out the plans that your doctors don't cover. And then the second thing we do is we filter out a bunch of plans, which I call strictly inferior. And all that means is that it's a plan that charges more for less coverage. And it actually turns out, like, you would think that wouldn't exist on the market, but because the public-private interaction actually leads to certain like market inefficiencies existing. And I'm specifically referring to the Medigap side. So if you've ever heard of like plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, plan G, plan F, there are about 10 plans like that. The best one available to new enrollees, and I'm actually not supposed to use the word best, but the one with the sort of most coverage is plan G, right? Hmm. And it turns out that of those 10, in a given zip code, usually about 5 cost more than plan G, instead of, even though they offer less coverage, right? So when we recommend plans, we filter all of those out too. So I don't, Joe, that answer may have been more long-winded than what you were looking for, but.
No, it's very helpful. It's very educational.
Yeah.
It talks to the complexities because there are so many of them.
Yeah.
And when people look at this, and that's where you come in to kind of help people sort through this. You just talk about the supplemental plans. Are they the letter plans? Are they different by state, Dan, or are they all uniform throughout the country?
They're uniform, yeah. So, and there are sort of like certain states will have like little like asterisks by them, but generally they're uniform. And they're an interesting type of plan because they're offered by private carriers, but the benefits are defined by the government, right? So plan G, for example, will be the same. The benefits will be exactly the same across any carrier. So plan G from Aetna will have the same benefits as plan G from Blue Shield. What's different though is the pricing. So this is another thing our website, fairsquaremedicare.com, does is when we recommend, we don't show you every single plan G option because they are roughly identical. What we do is we take every carrier that has a minimum rating of A, the letter A, like the rating is A or better. And then we just choose the one with the cheapest plan G, and that's what we show people.
And talk about pricing. I mean, one of the things I'm of the age, I signed up for Medicare this year, so I knew this going in, but I have peers, friends of mine who are not aware that Medicare is not free. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, the degree to which people are not aware of how Medicare works is really astounding. I mean, I'm sure you've all heard the sort of, I don't know if anybody ever said this, but the quote is, I want the government to get their hands off my Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Right.
But the sort of schedule of payments is the following. So for Part A, it's for most people, it's free. If you've been paying your social income tax, you've been paying your social security tax out of your paycheck, it's typically withheld from your paycheck. If that's been going on for at least 10 years, that money actually prepays your Part A premium. So most people, that's the case for most people. So when they sign up for Part A, there's no premium there. For Part B, there is a premium, and it varies based on income. So if you are filing individually an income of less than $85K or jointly an income of less than, I think it's $175K, then your Part B premium will be about $144 a month. If your income exceeds $750K a year, your Part B premium will be, I forget the exact number, but somewhere around $450 to $500 a month. And then on top of that, you'll pay a premium for either a Medicare Advantage plan or a premium for a Medicare supplement plan and or a premium for a prescription drug plan.
Dennis is already in the Medicare club, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it dawned on me that I have 25 months to go. Yeah. So I thought I'd ask you, how much in advance of turning 65 should people begin to look into Medicare?
Yeah, yeah. So your window to enroll in Medicare starts 3 months before the month of your 65th birthday. And it actually extends to 3 months after the month of your 65th birthday. But I recommend everybody figure it out in that first 3 month segment. And I think that for most people, you can sort of start thinking about it at the beginning of that 3 month segment, or in other words, when you're 64 and 9 months. Go over to our website, fairsquaremedicare.com, and use it. And if you have any questions, feel free to call us. And the one caveat I would say there is if you're, you know, sort of high net worth individual, and you know, there might be sort of all sorts of like bespoke preparations you might want to start with before that window. But for most people, you don't really need to think about it until you're 64 and 9 months.
Yeah, one of the things that I found is that you will be reminded many times.
Yes,
everybody's got your 3 month markdown and their marketing. You will get inundated with mail.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So Dan, what are the options for people who work for a corporate employer? You mentioned that before. They'll be eligible for Medicare at 65, but have a spouse who's younger than 65.
Yeah. Yeah. So oftentimes people who have coverage from their employer or their spouse's employer will defer enrolling in Part B. And it just typically, you know, the cost of adding an additional member to your employer's health plan will be less than that of the Part B premium plus the prescription drug premium and or the MA Medicare Advantage or Medicare supplemental premium. And the way that works is you just confirm that, and if this is a large employer, this will almost certainly be the case. You want to talk to someone in their HR department to confirm that they will pay before Medicare pays and they offer credible coverage. And then you can defer enrolling in Part B and you'll be on the plan until you retire or your spouse retires, in which case once you retire, you'll have 60 days after the date of retirement to enroll in Part B and to get the Medicare Advantage plan or to get the Medicare supplement plan.
Great, thanks. And Dan, what advice would you offer someone who's listening and wants to get their Medicare options right?
Can I be a little self-serving in the response?
Go ahead.
Yeah. So one of the things that was interesting about this, like starting this business for me, is that the options for understanding Medicare online are just really bad, right? And like I said, you either have to get on the phone with someone or you got to go to a website that shows you a laundry list of options, or you go to a website where you put in your phone number and 50 people call you. And so we built this tool at fairsquaremedicare.com, which even though it's new, it's like somehow I think the best shopping tool on the internet, where we show you only the 4 to 6 plans that make sense to consider. And those are only the plans that cover your doctors and the plans that, or quote unquote, good deals. And what I mean by that is we don't show you any of the plans that cost more but offer less coverage. And so you go there, and we also have apples to apples comparison between Medicare Advantage plans and Medicare supplemental plans, to the point that our users don't really even need to understand the difference between Medicare supplement and Medicare Advantage plans. So we'll show you the 4 to 6 plans that make sense for you, and you look at them. And then you can call us. We'll connect you with a licensed health insurance agent if you have any questions. Or if you want to enroll in any of them, we'll also connect you to a licensed agent for a super brief call to do a quick sanity check, and then he or she will enroll you. And again, this is a bit self-serving, but I really think that's the easiest way to shop for Medicare in the United States right now.
Well, Dan, thank you very much for educating us today. We learned a lot on Medicare and more to go, but thanks for giving us the basics and your perspective on it.
Awesome. Joe and Dennis, thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate it. Thank you again.
Well, I know a lot more about Medicare than I did before. That was great to hear someone really take us through. We appreciate Dan taking the time to do that. So it's clear there's a lot of moving parts. It's clear that it's a complicated process, maybe more than it seems at first. And it's good to become educated on it. Dennis, you've recently gone through the process and you're enrolled. So what did you think of it?
Yeah, so first of all, I did a lot of research on this, and I started probably about 6 months before I was scheduled to sign up. And Dan did a good job of identifying that 3 months before you turn 65 window. That's the window you want to, you know, certainly take advantage of. You will get a lot of information and from organizations telling you about Medicare. For example, I belong to the AARP and I got a lot of literature from that. I say educate yourself as much as you can. Talk to people that have done this before you to see what their experience has been. And Dan identified, Joe, some of the concerns between the A and B in Medicare and then the supplemental. Become familiar with that. Become familiar with what those costs are. And some of the resources that clearly he pointed out are things that you can, opportunities to use those and get more educated. I find also talking to your accountant would be helpful. They'll know some of the tax consequences of how the cost of Medicare could impact you. So I think that's important. So, you know, the cost of healthcare are growing tremendously in our country. As we know, this is a very important opportunity for people to really get educated about this as when you turn 65. I know you learned a lot more today. I'm here already, learning every day. So I expect Medicare will change a little bit as you and I continue to get older, hopefully, and stay educated.
And that's a good closing. Three-word summary, do your homework. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Retirement Wisdom Podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can listen to all episodes of our podcast by subscribing to them on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher, or on our website at retirementwisdom.com.